You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans, another exciting episode. It is, like we mentioned last episode, it is Super Bowl week. So we have, Alexis is away. Alexis is in London, letting the British know that the NFL is, he's an ambassador for the National Football League.
That's what he's doing? You think Alexis is out there being like, yo, guys, you hear about this Patrick Mahomes?
You hear about the real football? That's right. That's how he starts every conversation out there.
I'm sure they love that. I'm sure they love that out there.
So we have, it's been an exciting week of special guests, and today is another one. We're going to be joined by Tony Rocha. Tony Rocha is a MLS Cup winner with New York City Football Club. He has retired, and he is now in new endeavors. But Tony is Tony's the homie. Tony played with NYCFC. Sure. He played for a couple MLS clubs, but he lower league, and it's just a fascinating story of someone who got to the mountaintop mm-hmm. of American soccer. So Tony Roach is going to be chatting with us in a little bit. We spoke to him just a couple weeks ago and stuff like that.
But yeah, a couple
he
weeks
came
ago.
Through the studio, and we had a great chat. So the couple quick things before we get to our interview, I mentioned last episode that Everton drew against Spurs, and mm-hmm. I think Everton fans were happy, but Arsenal fans were even happier, right? Because they love when bad things happen to Spurs. But a funny thing that happened in that game was that Richarlison, former Everton superstar hero, one of the people who kept Everton in the Premier League.
I mean, listen, for Everton fans, definitely hero. I was going to say superstar might be a little bit strong in the general terms.
If he stayed at Everton a little longer, he would have gotten a statue at some point. But
I mean, that's a crazy take.
I mean, it could have been a small statue. Okay, I mean,
it's
statues,
a bobblehead.
Richarlison bobblehead night. He's earned it.
Do they do stuff like that in the Premier League? Do they have those?
I don't think so, because gimmicks? I think the fans will throw them on the pitch if the team plays well. So I don't think they do that too easily.
That's fair. That's a good point.
But there was a Richarlison scored two goals at Goodison Park, and didn't celebrate, and two amazing goals, and so fans were I think happy that the team ended up drawing, but there was a funny video from that I saw on TikTok from EFC Toffee. What's his name? I'll play right now. EFC Toffee 32327. Okay, so this kid is he's putting out his government out here.
32327, bro. Definitely not a bot. Definitely not a bot.
But he is. I shouldn't have done that. But what are you gonna do? I was supposed to switch the proper transition, and I forgot to. But yeah, let's leave it in.
This is the vibe of the show.
Okay, won't happen again, everybody. so he's. I just want to play his video because it was pretty funny.
Yeah, Richarlison. No, I'll have to do this.
So, if you're listening, he is punching. He is punching his Everton Richarlison jersey. It's an older one. It's number 30. But the cool thing is that Richarlison saw the TikTok and replied in the comments, and Richarlison's comment says, "Yes, bro, I don't like the number 30. I prefer 7, which was his other number at Everton. So it's nice to see when players can, you know, laugh along with the fans, even though it is difficult to watch your former player score against you. You know, Richarlison has seemingly the utmost respect for Everton. He was just like, bro, I see what's going on here. I have a feeling points are going to get docked because they're literally stuffing money in the refrigerators. I don't know why. Like, I don't know. things are like not up, like up to par. So I feel like I should probably get out of here. Not super professional. So
I mean, I respect it. I'm glad Richarlison is jumping in the comments. He seems to like be a relatively like normal dude on social media, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't seem to take things too personally. He doesn't like get upset. He's not KD, you know, he's just jumping in everybody's mentions, like being like, what are you talking about me? What are you saying about me?
I love it.
Yeah, I respect everything.
Kevin Durant the other day, I think, I don't know if the game already happened, but the game against the Nets, when he was going to go play there, somebody asked, like, you know, the Nets were, I think, thinking about doing like a tribute video to Kevin Durant for, you know, in his game returning to the Barclays, and they were like, what tribute are we gonna show us getting knocked out of the playoffs and blah blah blah, like all the literally just underachieving. And he commented on it, and he was like, yeah, bro, I agree. They better not do a tribute video for me.
Well, did you see? You saw they gave him a tribute video, right?
I didn't see the video.
They did one for him. And I mean, I got to be honest. It looked like it was about 45 seconds long. So I'm not sure, like you said, how many great moments there actually were to celebrate. But yeah, he got one, even though he didn't really want it.
Yeah, it seems a little I don't know, unnecessary. I don't know. There's a certain I think with players bouncing around.
In the NBA, it's so different. NBA, like everyone plays for every team now. It's crazy.
Yeah. There's just like loyalty. Nah, bro. They could have done some banter and like done a video of like an AI burning of a Kevin Durant jersey, you know, just stir the pop.
Exactly. Well, then what they should have done is just zoomed in on his toe on the line against the Bucks. That would have sent them to the finals if he had made the three instead of the two. I'm not sure if you saw also, there was a fan, I think he was like second or third row at the game, who was literally yelling, Kevin, I love you. Kevin, and one of the stewards had to tell him, like, yo, man, what are you doing right now? This is way too much. You got to relax.
You know what? Cool. This is how we are too much connected to soccer, because you just called the security guards at an NBA game a steward.
A steward.
Bro,
what do you call it? I guess it's just a security guard. Yeah.
Bro, it's infecting our language, dog.
call me Patrick Vell of the United States. I'm a British American.
And I guess because this is another episode, I don't know if I mentioned Miguelito. Obviously, Alexis is not here.
I'm here. Our
producer Mike.
You know Valley. The voice. You know the voice. Yeah, you know the voice. They know the voice.
You don't see the face too often. But this is Mike Malley. So shout out to Miguelito for hopping on the intro. Okay. Absolutely. Tony Rocha is coming up in a second. I don't know where we are on time, but
we're good. We can keep going.
Okay. Tony Rocha is like I said, he's played in lower league. He has a fascinating story from getting out of, you know, playing soccer in Texas to getting, you know, playing for the Austin Aztecs, getting drafted in MLS, ending up with Orlando City, and then ended up with NYCFC and became like definitely a utility guy, you know. A guy played multiple positions, but ended up winning an MLS Cup, and it's just a really, really dope story.
I feel like guys like Tony always have the best stories, because they've you know, been around, they've seen the highs, they've seen, you know, some of the not so highs. I always love having guys like Tony on the show. He was great.
Yeah, there's a lot of these stories in MLS that I think get you know, that sort of disappear because people are only paying attention to the designated players and the superstars.
Exactly.
Tony is definitely a veteran of the league and is now doing some new things and started an agency and helping out, you know, players that are coming after him. not after him. Like, not they have. He doesn't have enemies. I mean, like,
he's got ops. He's got ops.
So, all right. So we can get to that. I think we're good to go. All right. So, as always, make sure you subscribe at Soccer Cooligans. Subscribe to the podcast. Shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network as well. Mm-hmm. And so let's get to it. Here's our awesome convo with the MLS Cup winner, Tony Rocha.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Another amazing guest.
Look at this. That's all we have is just
bro,
incredible guest after incredible guest.
What an honor it is to be invited on the show, right?
It really is. Just, we've... And not enough people talk about it.
Maybe we should talk about it.
We have to, you know?
If you don't toot your own horn, you might not hear any music.
Okay.
You know?
And you know what? I'm hearing a symphony right now.
Oh, we should turn it down.
Because we are joined by an incredible guest, a retired player. But
an MLS Cup winner.
Exactly. And
we were there.
And we got to share in that joy of celebrating an MLS Cup victory.
The look on this man's face when we pulled up to the after party. And he was just like, are we letting anybody in now? Did they sell tickets to this thing? How are you here?
Did you win like a Make-A-Wish?
Yeah. Did you guys marry Moxie Morales? Are you one of his 18 kids? Why are you here?
I think he has like two. He's a very reasonable amount
of
kids.
It just seems like a lot of kids in his Instagram.
But yes, we got to celebrate an MLS Cup victory in 2021 with this man. He played in the midfield for NYCFC. Just had an incredible year, and it was great. We spoke to him in 2021 briefly, and now we can have talk about the future
a little catch up.
So everyone, please welcome the homie, Tony Rocha. What's good, Tony?
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. And I appreciate the intro.
Yeah. That you have to awkwardly sit through.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for my turn to speak. Yeah, like, oh, man, how long you guys are going?
These guys are
monologuing.
I just feel like you haven't praised how many amazing guests we have on this show. Yeah. What's taking you so long?
In fact, we're going to redo this.
Tony, man, thank you so much for joining us. Like I said, you are officially a retired, soccer player. Yep. And this, you know, we spoke to you in 2021 and we got to like talk about what it was, this was before NYCFC won MLS Cup. Mm-hmm. It was obviously a weird, difficult year, with a pandemic and it was, the year after the MLS is back and all the, so it was kind of strange. Mm-hmm. But I want to get to know Tony Rocha.
Yes. Not the player, the man.
The man. Okay. Because you've had an interesting career. I mean, it's been, you look through Tony Rocha's Wikipedia and you've been kind of all over the country playing, playing in lower leagues and then getting to MLS and getting that shot to kind of prove yourself. But let's start there. How'd you get into the game, and then we'll end up getting to lifting the trophy with NYCFC.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I started playing soccer when I was five or six. Had an older brother who was kind of thrown into it. None of my parents played, so it was kind of one of those sports where all the kids play soccer and stuff. So played with my older brother, and then I just grew up playing and just fell in love with the sport.
And where was this?
Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas.
Grew up in the South.
Yeah.
Big football, big American football. I know we're not talking about. Yeah, football now.
Is that this? Or is that this? One of these, right?
I think it's this.
Is this one?
Yeah.
Hook 'em horns.
I don't know.
We don't know.
We're East Coast elites, bro. Yeah. We don't know.
We do this for pizza. We don't know.
There's
a lot of this if you're a Giants fan in particular. But yeah, we don't get a lot of it, but I know these are upsetting each other, right?
Oh, yeah. Like me just doing that's probably going to. Get a lot of unfollowers.
Someone just threw their hat. Yeah, their cowboy hat.
Sometimes I crip walk on the show and bloods get really upset. Oh,
dude.
It's a big thing. I'm like, why did I do it again?
Why?
Oopsie. I'm getting canceled
and
by
I'm
the
wearing,
bloods.
I'm wearing all red. They're mad at me. I'm not stomping. I'm mad at them. I'm getting canceled by the bloods.
It's absolutely hilarious.
Oh, man. Like, we can't work with this guy anymore.
Okay. So, yes. All right. So, you know, you play with all your older brother.
Yep.
When does it get serious of like, oh, yo, I can actually be a professional?
Probably, well, not about professional, but probably like when I was 13, 14, made one of the youth national like ODP camps.
Yeah.
And that was kind of was like, all right, well, I'm pretty good at this sport. I have a potential future in it. So
that
was
one kind of. How did that happen, though? Were you just like playing it for like a travel team or something?
So back in the day, there was a thing called ODP. It might still be going on, but ODP, Olympic Development Program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of where they have different regions throughout the country. And you would have like state teams, regional teams, national teams. So you try out for the state teams, you made it regional and then national. And so I tried out and I was in I ended up making the national team at, I think, U15, U16. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's obviously a great feeling. And then you you go to college, you go mm-hmm. to Tulsa.
Yep.
Here's Tulsa. And then the, as far as, you know, I think, now, you know, the MLS draft just happened last week or a week or 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And now we're sort of at the point where people feel like it's either kind of pointless or useless. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily know because obviously some decent players make it through and really have to have like, you know, go on to have prosperous careers. Mm-hmm. But what are your thoughts on the, or even what was your experience with the draft? And do you share that same sort of sentiment that it doesn't really have that much purpose now?
I mean, I don't think it had much purpose back then, to be honest.
Okay.
When I was coming out of college.
Yeah.
Because it's more of like a glorified tryout, to be honest. Like you get your name, it's the MLS draft, and you go there and you're not really guaranteed a contract. So it's just you're going there for preseason.
Right.
So I think a lot of people like it now, which is because like name and the ESPN or whatever, like got drafted and all that stuff. But it's essentially just like a tryout.
That's interesting.
So it's nothing guaranteed. So if
nothing
you get
guaranteed.
Picked, you
it might be like the first 10. Yeah, the first 10 okay. might have like guaranteed contracts or like Generation Adidas. I don't know if they do that anymore.
They still do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I think Generation Adidas get pulled out of the draft, though, no?
I don't know. I mean, every 15 minutes, MLS changes their the rules and MLS Next and, yeah, and the whole thing. So I know that you got drafted by Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, right? So I do have a story about that. So during college, I was playing in PDL, which is like a summer league for high school, or for college players to play so they don't lose their eligibility, with a team in Austin called Austin Aztecs.
Yeah.
The last year that I was going to play
was
with
that
them.
The Austin Aztecs that went and became Orlando?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that was
the one that they re-brought
that
back
to Orlando,
because
they
moved to
Orlando.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very cool.
So I was playing PDL with them for the summer, and then they came to me and they were like, hey, we're going to go USL the next year when you graduate college. We want you to play on the team. And I was like, I think I can go MLS. Like, I don't want to say anything right now or come in or anything, but that's obviously like an option. So Sporting Kansas City drafts me. The coach from Austin calls and is like, hey, I know you wanted to go MLS. You can go try out with them. And then, like, obviously there's an opportunity for you to come back and stay in Austin and everything. And so I go to Kansas City, do really well there. The coach calls me and is like, look, I know you want to go over there, but we're doing preseason now. Like, we are doing, like, a formation. Like, we want you back. So it was a decision. Do I stay there and potentially get a contract, or do I go to USL with, like, a guaranteed contract and stuff?
Right.
And so,
and there's a chance that if you stay in training with Sporting Kansas City, you don't make that team, and then you also might not be able
to
get
Yeah, he was like,
job.
Look, we're going to pull your contract if you don't come back and train with
Ooh.
Us now. So it was a decision. It was like, look, I know I'm good enough to make the Kansas City team. Like, I talked to Peter Vermees, and he was like, look, I've only seen you for, like, a week and a half, but, like, you're a good player. I just need to see more. So I decided to go to USL and play in Austin, and looking back on it, I think it was a good decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I mean, and you think it was a good decision because of the like some of the guarantees, or even the guarantees to playing time? Or what were the positives?
Yeah, well, the positives was guaranteeing just to play, because I could have stayed at Kansas City, not make the roster, and then not knowing where I'm going. Like, I played under this coach for the PDL. Like, I know the system, I know style.
Yeah.
Like, I knew I fit in well, so I knew I was going to have a good opportunity to play, and that's most important probably when you're first coming out of college.
Yeah. Was there a fear that maybe you might not get looks? Because I know for, in particular for MLS, I would love to figure out a way where there is a ladder for players to be looked at to move up. Oftentimes you see Premier League teams go into the championship and pull somebody. You very rarely see that happening in U.S. soccer. Was there a fear that maybe you were pulling yourself out of the system because you know MLS teams are going to go to Europe or some of these underdeveloped sort of maybe nations footballing-wise to pull players out?
I think when I was still in USL, they were still doing it a fair amount. Like, I know there's a lot of players going from USL to MLS. Like, I think now whenever I left New York City to go to Orange County, I knew going to USL wasn't going to come back to MLS.
Right, right, right.
Like, I knew that was going to happen. My age, like, I know players aren't making that change anymore unless they're 17, 18 years old. So I think when I was doing it then, I think I was young enough, and if I played well, I would have had the opportunity.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a yeah, I think even as a fan, you sort of you have a bias, right? You think you hear USL and you're like, oh, how's this guy from the lower league going to help the team? But then it's just like there are – I mean, one of the names that I think of now, Tyler Pash, right? I think he was at Indy 11, then went to Houston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And played pretty well. And I don't think he's with Houston anymore. It just seems like there is a – we know, like, the volatility of just being a professional American soccer player who is not Chicharito, right? Like, there is a lot of uncertainty. There is you're trying to focus on, like, yo, am I going to have a job this year or next year? I mean, as far as the is it a fear? Is it like you just have to believe in yourself to such a high degree to believe, like, yo, I can make an MLS roster and go into every, like, preseason and every training with that attitude? Like, how much do you have to prove yourself to coaches and stuff like that just because you didn't come from Europe?
Yeah.
And you know, how day-to-day, like, what's that like?
I mean, that's every day, not only proving to, like, the coaches, but, like, yourself, that you're good enough to be there. So just fast forward the story a little bit, I went to Orlando City B from Austin with the USL team there, and I knew I was going to be training sometimes with the first team, and so that was like a booster right there. Like, if I can go out there and train and show that I'm good enough to play in the MLS team, then I could make the jump. So probably 3/4 of the way of that first year, I played a couple open camp games with the MLS team in Orlando City, and then the coach calls me so the coach was Adrian Heath at the time. Yeah. He ends up getting fired. And he's the one that brought me up to the Open Cup games, the MLS team, and I was like, man, that was my opportunity. Was my now end. He's out the door. Like, yeah, like, what are you guys doing?
Where you going, bro?
Yeah. Yeah. And then they signed Jason Kreis, and then we had a friendly against, I think, Stoke City or Sunderland. I can't remember which one it was, but played well against them, and then played a USL game against Louisville City, and then he calls me to his office the next day, and I'm sitting there, and then he's just like, it's the last day of the trading window, and he was just talking to me, is like, how would you feel if I told you that you are an MLS player? I thought he was like, didn't know if he was questioning me or his first time having a conversation.
Because
like,
you ain't.
Like,
get out.
So
get him out.
You
failed the test.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to know what I was pulling from you.
All the punk cameras come in.
We burned you.
The cameras coming in. But yeah, he asked me that, and I'm like super excited. I'm like, I mean, obviously, that's what every kid wants to hear, like MLS plan and stuff. And he was like, yeah, so, I mean, we have to figure out some logistic things, but we want to sign into MLS contract. So,
what do you think you did that made them want – what was it specifically about your game that made them be like, yes?
That is a great question. I think –
thank you. the audience agreed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just a young player. I was very versatile. Not only can play midfield, but – also, left defense, left back. I was just a hungry player. Like, they could see my skill. They could see how hard I worked. And I think I was just a good asset to the team.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, even when you sign with NYCFC, and obviously, if anyone's not aware, you know, we basically started this show because of NYCFC in 2015. We got season tickets, and so obviously, we've been season ticket holders since day one. And when you signed with the club, obviously a lot of players come in and out of the club, and it was a thing of like, I don't know who this guy is.
No one knew.
Who is this guy?
Is it Roca? Is it Rocha? Oh, yeah. Couldn't be Rocha. Nobody wants to call themselves after a bug.
Yeah.
So we were, we weren't sure, but then seeing you get minutes and you was sub into games, it speaks a lot to the type of player that you are, of like constantly having to prove yourself. And then when you get an opportunity, it just shows that like I've dealt with as many punches as possible. Maybe this isn't as scary as it really, maybe would be to other people. So that, I mean, when Alexis is speaking to like, what about your game? That's like the first thing that comes to mind. There was a, throughout your career with NYCFC, there was a composure, like, I don't care if you don't know who I am. I don't know how much that was a, I don't know how important that was to you, but maybe you can speak to that, just like kind of like, you know, doing your job and not necessarily being selfish or thinking about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure a lot of professional athletes can relate to this, but growing up, a lot of people tell you you're not going to make it, you're not good enough, you're not fast and all that stuff. So I guess just developing that, like, resilient mindset in Orlando specifically. So when I came here, it was like, you guys can say whatever you guys want about me. Like, I know how I am a player. Like, I know if I'm not good enough now, I'm going to be able to get there with the constant work. So just having that mindset. And
when people say, you know, as a professional athlete, a lot of people tell you they can't, that you're not going to make it. Who are these people? Like, I just don't. Why are there so many evil human beings that were like, yeah,
just
you
walking
know.
By, be like, what do you play? Nah, you ain't making it.
Oh, you got a dream? Nah, yeah, that ain't happening.
Nah, you ain't making it. Anyway, did you want fries with that? You're like, why am I having this conversation with you?
Were there any most notable people that you really that fueled you, who told you that you couldn't make it?
Like name dropping on the show?
I mean, what you could have,
not when I was.
What?
Yeah.
Mom! Yeah.
You know where you at, Senora Rocha? I'm assuming you
said. No. I'm not going to do it. My mom was probably one of the most supportive people. Okay, yeah.
Because it just seems so far fetched. As stand up comics, you know. That's also a pretty ridiculous
dream. We tell ourselves
dream.
We're not going to make it.
The mirror tells me more than anybody else that I'm not going to make it.
We could literally watch back sets of ours where people are laughing and we're like, oh, we ain't got it.
For the most part, people are usually like, when I told people like I'm going to be a stand-up comic, everybody's like generally like, oh, that's cute, that's polite. Like, they will never tell me that they think it's a bad idea. Yeah. But it seems with professional athletes, it's like much more common to be like, nah, why do that? You're not going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a good point. But I mean,
I wish it wasn't true.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but especially like coaches in your youth year, like maybe someone develops a lot slower than someone else, and it's like, no, you're not good enough, or you're not this and that, and then they just wash them off or write them off, and
yeah. Damn. It's disappointing because I think, you know, we're I think the culture of maybe even youth sports is changing a little bit, where maybe you sort of hear less of that, or maybe.
Maybe
it's less toxic. I think it's sort of moved from like face to face to just social media. Like now, the negativity is just
on social media.
It's just in the comment section.
It's easier to be negative on social media than
without
it is.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, somebody recently put this. It was two guys. I can't remember what it is. They talk about the NBA. It's Richard Jefferson and somebody else. But they were like, we get constant negativity, and then those people will see us in public and want to buy us beers.
Yeah.
I was like, what is it about you on social media that made you mean to me? And they'll tell you, like, oh, dude, I roasted you the other day. And they come here, like, don't do that. Have you thought about not doing that? What about young Tony? Like, what is it that your family wanted you to be?
They were just supporting me with whatever I wanted to do. And they could probably see that I wanted to play pro at a young age, so they're like, we're going to support you with playing pro.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. What about your older brother?
He tore his ACL his senior year of high school. So he went to a D3 school and he was still playing college. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you got to be like, he's the MLS Cup.
Please don't touch it.
I think there's like rules or laws. You can't even be that close to it.
Wouldn't want you to blow out your ACL again. You were just mean about it. Why don't you sit? I'll put it on your lap. Don't get hurt. What's he do now?
He works in accounting.
Oh, very cool. In
Mississippi.
Nice. Mississippi?
Yep.
Damn.
All right.
Yeah, everywhere.
Everywhere. Younger brothers in Colorado. Yep. All over the country.
Wow.
And then you also represented Belize in international duty. What was that experience
like? Are you 100% Belizean?
No, my mom was born in Belize, and then my dad is Mexican.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then, so the... You know, what was the phone call like? How did you get into, what were the conversations like about playing for the Belizean national team?
So, I mean, I originally wanted to play for the U.S. national team.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, the older I got, and I wasn't getting the call. Still waiting on it. But,
Belize.
No, I was like, my mom's born in Belize. Like, I'll see if I can try to get the Belize passport and then potentially play for them. I know they play and they qualify for the Gold Cup once. They play in World Cup qualifiers and stuff, so it's good exposure. Like, if I potentially want to make a move from MLS, like, that could be an opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
So, got my passport from them. Actually reached out to their, like, Facebook group because I couldn't get a hold of the coach or the manager or whatever. Like, didn't know who it was at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they responded back, and then I got a message from the, like, Federation president or whatever, and then just start the conversation from there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That sounds crazy. You know, the admin was like, guys,
I think I'm signing somebody.
I just told someone to join the team. I don't think I'm supposed to do this.
Just a 19-year-old. Just like, Billy.
I think we're getting scammed.
What? Any memorable games as far as playing for Belize? Is there?
What's the level?
Skill level is obviously very different. But what was the experience like? I'm sure it was cool to connect with your roots in that way. And then what were your teammates like and all that stuff?
I mean, it was a cool experience. The last time I went down to Belize was when I was younger. And I still have most of my mom's side of family out there. So going down and being able to see them for the first time in a long time was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And then just the different culture down there. It's a Caribbean country. So
if I'm not mistaken, English is the main language.
Yeah, it's the only, I think, Central American country where their primary language is English.
Okay. So, any teams you played on that were, like, surprising? Like, okay, yo, these are pretty strong squad or whatever.
Or were you like a god when you touched down?
No, so to be fair, there was one other player that played in the MLS, Michael Salazar.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was the one of the players that played in MLS, and then the other guys just played down in Belize. So
okay.
Yeah. Different levels of
Did you ever play against Dominican Republic by any chance?
No, we played against, I think the best team we played against was Guatemala.
Okay.
A couple years ago.
All right. How was that game?
Lost 2-0.
Okay. All right, not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. What were the tactics? 4-4-2, low block?
No, we played a 4-2-3-1.
Really?
Yeah.
You out here trying to ball.
Are you trying to?
Yeah. I believe that we will win. I've been waiting for that one. I thought about that in the car.
Amazing.
I kind of thought you guys would join in on my line. Everyone's just like, he's not gonna.
I wasn't. I mean, it was. Is it completely disrespectful to his culture to join in on the jam? I'm like, all right.
If all of us did it, it might be a little disrespectful. We're all standing up.
So. All right, so that's dope. And then I do want to talk about the 2021 MLS Cup final run with NYCFC. Obviously, it's a huge was a huge moment for us.
Let me ask, because we actually filmed ourselves both in the New England game and there with like our reactions to the penalties, and we lost years of our life just sitting there watching these penalties. It's like my heart's beating. You were on the bench and in that final. Was it as difficult for you in that moment?
Oh, 100%.
What is going 100%. Through your mind? Because I know, especially in MLS, it's like year over year contracts change and blah, blah. Are you thinking like what could be the difference between making it not, like winning and not?
Yeah, I mean, normally in PKs, it's who has a better keeper. And we definitely had the better keeper on the day. And so like going into it in the huddle, we were just like, we're for sure going to win this. Like we didn't nearly lose the MLS Cup final in the last 30 seconds to lose it right now. So.
Right.
Yeah, we were confident.
I mean, but not only that one, because the penalties in the final, the penalties against New England were also
Matt Turner.
Yeah,
who was like a penalty stopper. Yeah. That was his whole thing.
And what was it? They won the Supporter Shield that year, if I'm not mistaken.
They were the best. They had the best season of any MLS team ever in history.
Right. So there was
a day you got to the playoffs.
So there was a lot to be sort of nervous about.
Yeah.
But there's something happened that season, right? Because it wasn't the strongest year for NYCFC. Nope. And we all had heard, especially when Ronnie Dyla had gotten to the club and we saw him taking off his clothes at Celtic and when celebrating
and doing push-ups. He didn't have like an OnlyFans if you don't follow the sport that closely.
Okay. All right, but I'll support him if he wants to.
Well, them feet picks up, Ronnie.
But there was sort of a lot of excitement, but the season had it was a roller coaster, had those ups and downs, and then the moment definitely I think a lot of people remember it was the free kick goal from Goody Thorarinson against Atlanta, which led to a draw.
Yeah.
I think it was 1-1.
We couldn't score before.
It was like a 10-game just rut.
Oh yeah.
And so, what do you remember about that low point of the season, and then it just the tide turning?
Yeah. So a lot of it was just week after week, trust the process, trust the process, trust the process. Like, we got tired of hearing it. It's like, look, we can't score.
Yeah.
We're trusting the process. Like, and to be fair, I mean, he would bring up the stats, and it's like, these are the expected goals. This is how many goals we should be having. I was like, yeah, but we're not having that. Like, that's a change.
Get my brother. Like, he's an accountant. He's going through these numbers. It feels like we're depreciated.
So, yeah, going into that, we were just like, I mean, something has to change. But he was like, no, stick to the process. So we, like, stuck to it. That free kick actually kind of changed things because that we ended up getting a point. That was the first goal we scored. And then I think the next game was in Miami, I believe.
Yeah, I
think vaguely, a lot of time ago. Yeah. But so, and I was telling this story before show. But we're going to Miami. It's a Saturday game, I believe. We fly in Thursday night. We have a team dinner. So our assistant coach is in charge of like booking the dinner, booking the place, and everything. So we're like, all right, we don't know what to expect. It's gonna be a nice place. It's Miami. We don't know. So we end up going there to a dinner. We show up. It's kind of dim lit. Like, we open the door. There's a DJ in the corner. There's like lights going on. We're like, are we here for dinner? Are we here to like for the club? Like, what are we doing? We got a game in a couple of days. So we all like situate everything, and we're like, all right, like, do we drink? Do we, like, what's the deal? And then we see
just
the waitress.
The one person. We see
the waitress walking out with a bottle of wine, placing it on the table next to us. We're like, all right, I guess we're drinking. Like, this is what we're doing. So we have a great like dinner, enjoying everything, and then we end up winning against Miami. And that was like the winning streak that we had going to the playoffs, and we got hot, and then that's how we ended up winning. So
wow,
that's what I, think was a turning point for the dinner, the club vibes.
I always think a dinner will change your mood. Doesn't matter when you have it at breakfast, lunch, have a good long dinner, and a bottle of wine. Yeah. What about after? Obviously, after you win MLS Cup, we talk about this all the time. Like, they release like roster updates before the playoffs are even done or before MLS Cup is played. Do you have that moment where you can really sort of celebrate and bask in that win? Or is it immediately on the phone with your agent going like, what's going to happen next year?
It's the day after. So you have the full night to celebrate. And then the day after is when you get the call if you're staying or not.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember being in bed, have a little bit of a headache, and the GM was like, hey, can you meet with me in the lobby at certain so time.
Yeah.
So
it's still in Portland.
Still in Portland. Still in the hotel. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean,
sat down. It's like, wait till. First of all, congrats on the MLS Cup. Second of all,
huge win.
You got to find a new team.
Now, for you, we won. It was a we win.
Yeah, it's a difficult, two emotions to have.
Yeah, I knew halfway through the season I wasn't going to be back next year.
Oh.
Yeah.
And what is the. Why are you so certain? Is it because you just see this? Do they tell you, or do you just see kind of things sort of changing around at the club?
So I wasn't playing under Ronnie, and I go up to him midway through the season. It's like, hey, am I a part of your plans? Because I want to play. If not, then I want to find a new team.
Right.
And which is what I appreciate about Ronnie. He was honest. He was like, look, you're not part of my plans. Like, we can try to find another team if you want. So.
Okay.
From halfway through the season, I was like, I know I'm not going to be here next year. So.
Okay. Well,
what happens after you hear something like that?
I mean,
like, if mid episode Christian's like, we've decided to go a different way, the rest of the episode might not go as planned.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, it's like I have to kind of be selfish. It's like I have to go out there and try to be better for myself because then I need to find a team next year. So.
Right. What does that mean?
Just go out there and try to get better every day, regardless if I'm not playing.
Because other teams might well be watching. Stuff, and, yeah.
Gotcha.
And then if, like, the coach or GM reaches out and it's like, hey, how was Tony as a player and in the locker room and stuff? And it's like, well, after we told him this, he completely went to crap and did that. Then other teams probably would.
A lot of cleat marks.
But it's hard to hear. You're not a part of the plan.
For sure.
And then, you know, maybe you weren't part of the plans, but you were used quite a bit.
Yeah,
you were a necessity, and you were needed in difficult moments during the season.
And that's another reason why probably I was composure in the playoff games, because I had the conversation with him midway through the season, and then he needs me for the playoff games.
Yeah,
and it's like, all right, well,
a little feather if I'm your
oh yeah.
yeah yeah yeah
like I would go out there and perform and like help win the MLS Cup and stuff, but I know I'm good enough to play on this team and everything, regardless of like what you. Tell me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such an interesting relationship. You think of these teams as these, like, harmonious, but there's so much interplay relationships back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any kind of workplace kind of environment, right? You have to, I'm sure there's like politicking. I'm sure there's cliques. I'm sure all of that. But the, you know, everybody has to go in with that common goal of just you know, finding some success for the team. But it's I think when you hear the stories directly, there's obviously a deeper sort of emotion to the player, because again, we see players come and go, and you don't know, like, you know, I think of a lot of the criticism that Jesus Medina got while at the club, right? And it's a thing where, look, there were things that were expected of him, and he didn't, you know, reach them, but then he provided such huge moments for the club in the playoffs. And so that's like, I don't want, especially players that come through NYCFC, I don't want to ever have some negative thought of it. Like, they gave their service to the club, and I consider myself a you know, day one supporter, so I'm going to show that like appreciation. As long as the players are like kind of respectful to the badge, that's what kind of means the most. So that's why the you know, even players that don't play well, that isn't necessarily my standard of like if I like you or not. I mean, some players, they try really hard and you know, and don't find that success. But that's the thing, it's like there's I think when we spoke to you in 2021, the thing that I think that triggered in me was just like, man, I want to talk to more of these guys that we don't hear from as much, because there's a lot of like interesting stories and great personality. And because I think MLS kind of just throws out the big names, that's all we sort of hear. But like guys like you that have had you know, difficult seasons in different clubs and stuff like that, that are like, I don't know, the sort of bedrock of the league, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more of us than the other guys.
Right, for sure. Right.
Yeah. Let's go to war. That's what it sounded like. There's more of us than them.
Tony's like, these tattoo millionaires. To say that. Yeah. These tattoo millionaires, right?
Designated one. I guess now that you're out of it, but having gone through the system, maybe your viewpoint is different than ours. If you were Don Garber for the day, what's one change you would make in MLS that you think would make it a better, more successful league?
I was here for a day.
He's like, give me my job back. And make it amazing.
I would probably...
You could take us through your thought process.
I'm thinking just salary cap, like, trying to even if it's raise the salary cap or just take the salary cap away.
Yeah.
For MLS. And, like, just let teams go out and spend whatever amount of money they want and have the other owners keep up or just get destroyed.
I mean, look, we've mentioned this.
By the way, there's a slew of people going, woo, as you say that.
All right. You could be also a co-host of this show.
Yeah, 100%.
Alexa says the same exact thing.
I say, wow.
Because,
you know.
They want to compete. Like, they got to pay the players.
But do you think there would be... What would be lost from the league if we did that? Because I'm in agreement.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you pay a player a ton of money and then they're not bringing in revenue, then obviously they take a hit.
Yeah.
If there's a salary cap, then I guess the owners can kind of balance that risk.
But it does limit your exposure to risk as well.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, I look at Colorado. No disrespect.
Yeah.
But they're coasting. You know what I mean?
True. Mm-hmm. I mean, they finally started spending some money this offseason.
A little bit.
But it does something, and we talk about this often, of like, especially with salary cap, the constraints don't necessarily hurt those top 5% of players.
Yeah.
It's really the players like that are kind in the middle or the fringe that like are these, I don't know, pieces that can kind of be tossed around and thrown away. And that, I think that's, you know, we were talking a little bit about like Julian Gressel. He is I think a good example of a player who is not a DP, not a TAM player, he's sort of like really good, not great to probably hit those like, you know, financial as far as in the market. He probably he's probably not getting insane offers from other clubs, but because the salary rules in Major League Soccer, he's stuck in a place.
Yeah, he can only make a certain
amount. Only make as much, and then teams are like, "Oh, well, we can't pay you, so we're gonna trade you."
Yeah.
So, because other people will pay us for you. You will become you become an appreciating asset, and then he's like, "Bro, I just bought a house. Why do I gotta move?
Wait, is there a way where you could not trade me and just give me the money that you would get?"
So it's like, oh, even being a productive player in the league is not necessarily a guarantee that you're going to get a job anywhere. It's a little or at least a job in the same place every year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I see that with a lot of players as well. Like, they want to stay with the team that they're at, but A, because of how their contract's structured, or because their age or whatever it is, like, their team can't afford to keep them. So.
Okay. And then you hear about, like, Miles Robinson going to FC Cincinnati because he's like, I don't want to take a pay cut to go to Europe. And you're like, wait, now we're paying players too much? No, How is this possible, bro?
I don't know where in Europe he's trying to go, but that's not going to pay him.
I was like, wait, what? I'm like, when did this flip? When did we start paying players too much? 1.5 million doesn't seem like an insane amount where Europe can't compete, but maybe it was certain places he was getting offers from. Maybe he was getting lowballed. You were in the league during that era where things started to change a little bit, where it went from 4 chartered flights to you're not flying commercial anymore, right?
That was nice.
What was it like going commercial before that?
Oh, I mean, especially in New York, you don't know where you're, like, you have Newark, LaGuardia, and JFK.
We had a lot of airports.
A lot of airports. So, like,
wait,
whenever
did players
travel,
go to the wrong airport ever?
I mean, sometimes. It might be the first time, and it's like, oh, I go to LaGuardia instead of JFK.
It's like, where are you guys? I'm in North.
What terminal is it? Like, completely different airport.
Yeah, ain't no Terminal T over here. What the hell's going on?
I got a crying baby with me. I know what's going on.
So New York was tough. And especially, like, whenever we had CBA meetings and we were trying to figure out, like, how many games it's hard and this and that. And, like, I think the example was, like, Columbus. You can fly to Columbus, small airport, zero problems. New York is like, we want to charge every flight because we don't know. We're flying out of 3 airports. The traffic there, it's miserable. But then COVID happened, and it's like, you guys are charting everything, and we're like, thank the Lord. It's so much easier. Like, it was out of White Plains. I lived probably like 10 minutes from there, so I was showing up 20 minutes before the flight, show the guy my ID, right on the flight. It was perfect.
Now, for people who don't know, though, all the chartered flights are through an airline I've never heard of called Suncoast.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. Sun Country.
Okay,
Sun Country.
I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of Sun Country.
First time I've seen the Sun Country plane.
Okay.
What's it like inside? Is it basically like a relatively inexpensive airline flight, or do you get bigger seats?
It's not Spirit, but it's it's like a little bit above Spirit.
Spirited.
It's Spirit.
Look, as long as the doors stay on the plane, that's the bar now.
Now you're like, this was a good flight. Under no circumstances did someone's cell phone get sucked out of a hole.
They probably did that on purpose. They probably did that on purpose. Now it's like, all right, well, at least my door stayed on the flight. It was a good one.
That's an important move. Okay.
Right, shouts to Sun Country, bro.
So look.
What an airline. No disrespect to Sun Country. We'll take the sponsor.
You know, we had a horrific pandemic, but we got charter flights out of it. So they all worked out.
It was worth it at the end.
It all worked out.
Could you imagine your designated players at the wrong airport, though? You're just like, dude, get on the next flight to Miami, please.
Jermaine Defoe was on Filthy Fellas, and he told a story about, you know, he was a DP for Toronto FC, and then he was talking about flights, and it was commercial flights. And so he would have a first class seat, and he'd be like, oh, okay, cool. And now the rest of the team is coming on, and they all go into the back and coach. And then he's like, and then the manager walks in, his coach, and is also walking to coach. And he's like, all right, I guess I'm going to sit here and just be. And he's like,
no wonder you vape when they tell you not to vape. No wonder. You can't talk to me with your Biscoff cookies. I got utensils.
So, look, it was a necessary change to improve the culture.
You can't respect a coach if you sit in coach.
Okay, you tell the guy, hey, bring me some water when you're back there. While you're at it.
Could you do me a favor? I'm about to get my hot towel. You really ruining my vibe with your tactics.
So, amazing. So, Tony, and now you are working.
You co-founded
an agency. The
Be More Agency.
Be More Agency.
Be More.
Yes,
what?
Sir.
Which is awesome to see. And
to decide.
Please nice. Talk a little bit about what you're, you know, essentially giving back to the game and what you're getting involved in.
Yeah. So whenever I was playing, there's a lot of companies reaching out wanting to help build my brand because I knew it was important. There's a lot of eyes on me, or a lot of eyes on professional athletes whenever you're playing and stuff. But like any other athlete, I'll do it later. I'll do it next year. I'll do it whenever. And now that I'm retired, it's looking back, like I definitely should have built my brand when I was playing. So I had a friend come up to me and was like, hey, this is my idea. I mean, I want you to be a part of it. You were just in that world. What do you think? So co-founded Be More Agency, and we're essentially helping athletes build their brands on and off the field.
Okay. What's an example of that for those listening who might?
Yeah, so an athlete, if they want to help or if they want brand partnerships, we'll reach out to these companies for them, help them get deals, build their social media profiles, help them.
Yeah, it's like NIL has been obviously in college sports has been a thing that's growing. So I think from the perspective, because there's a lot of people who work in this. And work in this business, but are not always former athletes. Yeah. What do you bring as far as having the experience as being an athlete and getting those opportunities or even missed opportunities? Mm-hmm. What are you bringing to current athletes that you're working with?
Well, I think first and foremost is just being able to relate to them. So I know a lot of these other owners weren't athletes before, so they can't relate to the day to day, or they don't know what they're going through right. with, and all this stuff. So just being able to have that relatability with them, I think, is a advantage for.
Okay. Yeah.
Could you get us a sponsorship with Sun Country?
Okay. I think if we keep the segment out of Sun Country, we might be able to. But
have they ever been brought up more on a podcast?
Their SEO numbers are going to be crazy.
They're like, oh, people are talking about the Sam Admin from Belize also just swipes to the Sun Country account she also manages. Oh, my God.
No, man, it's great. It's look, I'm really excited for you and happy for you, and I'm glad you came through. I think these, I think a lot of these stories are just often go too long unheard, and I think what the challenges and struggles of just being a professional athlete, playing in Major League Soccer, and also going through, the stuff. Like, I'm sure you deal with this with athletes that you work with of, like, you dealt with a lot of things that some of the players don't have to deal with now. And you can just be like, back in my day, whatever. Yeah, you do the whole thing. But
like baggage claim?
You didn't have to wait.
You have to wait for your bags.
Okay. These kids are small these days.
While Jermaine Defoe gets carried on a pillow at the airport past you.
Okay. I think it's a little bit different. So you laid the foundation of this league. And, I think especially in 2026 when the World Cup is here, I think there's so much to look forward to, just the growth of this sport in this country. So I appreciate hearing stories the people that helped build that. So Tony Rocha, thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been so cool.
Yeah, thanks again for having me on.
All right, thank you.
Blast.
And let's see the account.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can go to Be More Agency, BEMORE agency.net.
Oh, we don't even follow. We got to hit that follow button.
BE.MOREAGENCY. Be More Agency.
Be More Agency. Go give them a follow. All right. Cheers, everybody. Thank you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.